Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Governor Mike Dunleavy has been appearing this month in conservative national media. On Fox News, Breitbart News, and talk radio shows, Dunleavy has drawn a parallel between the potential recall effort he's facing and the impeachment investigation of President Donald Trump. The governor has used the appearances to make a case for his policies, but he's also raising funds to counter the recall. KTOO and Alaska Public Media's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Governor Dunleavy has identified himself closely with a group raising money to fight the recall.
We do have a website. It's standtallwithmike.com. That's standtallwithmike.com.
That's Dunleavy on October 6th on Breitbart News Sunday, a show on satellite radio channel SiriusXM Patriot. Dunleavy referred to the website of a new group formed to fight the recall, Stand Tall with Mike. In the appearances, Dunleavy has drawn a comparison between himself and President Trump.
Just like the president, he wasn't supposed to win. He was not within the establishment. He was not part of the swamp. And what people fail to realize is that President Trump and what we're trying to do up here is we're trying to work on behalf of the average American, average Alaskan.
Dunleavy has told national audiences that the political left and special interests want to redo the 2018 election. Here he is talking with host Neil Cavuto on Fox News on October 18th.
These folks actually start to talk about a recall a mere two and a half months into my term. And I think it's really more about the agenda that I was elected on and the agenda that I'm actually implementing that some of the folks on the left don't agree with. And so they've started this recall effort.
A political consultant says Dunleavy's national appearances are a strategy that gets the governor's message out to his supporters inside Alaska. Art Hackney has worked with Republican candidates and causes, including a group that supported Dunleavy's election.
On the conservative side, you have in Fox News a tremendous venue. I mean, I think it's about 40% in one fell swoop of the people on the conservative side are viewers.
Hackney also says politically active Americans are starting to pay more attention to what's happening in other states. This means Alaska elected officials and candidates of any party can use national exposure to raise money.
You're just using a venue that gets your message out there, and it is difficult. It's difficult in Alaska to raise money. At least Galvin can talk about getting lots of small donors, but I mean, they're coming from outside of Alaska. It's always a battle to raise money, so it's just plain smart for the governor to be doing this.
Mita DeWitt chairs Recall Dunleavy, the group organizing the recall. She says the national appearances are just about money, and the recall signers represent a broad group of Alaskans, including some who support the president.
We care about our state, and the fact that he's referring to his constituents as the swamp, he should be ashamed of himself. You know, if he feels that way about Alaskans, you know, he should step down.
DeWitt says Dunleavy didn't run on the cuts he proposed once in office.
He ran on a platform saying that he would make our government more efficient and that he wouldn't cut education, right? That he wouldn't cut things that matter to us.
The State Division of Elections is expected to announce whether it certified the recall to begin the signature gathering campaign by November 4th. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
A new company has announced plans to ship liquefied natural gas from Alaska's North Slope to Asian markets. Former Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell is the CEO of Kelak LNG, which expects to partner with Exxon to ship the fuel on ice-breaking tankers from Point Thompson. Company President David Clark says Kelak's project would be much cheaper than the proposed Alaska LNG pipeline project. Officials say the early cost estimate for the project is about $5 billion. Officials say Kelak would not need state funding as a subsidiary of Dubai-based Lloyds Energy, which has been focused on LNG since forming in 2013. Clark says shipping LNG through Arctic waters has become more feasible due to the reduction of sea ice caused by climate change. The Trump administration is seeking a full exemption from the roadless rule in the Tongass National Forest. Public comments found most people want to keep the federal rule in place, but state officials have been pushing hard to exempt Alaska, in part to help the state's declining timber industry. But one logging company says the industry is facing other challenges, Chinese tariffs, so they aren't counting on a new inventory of trees just yet. From Alaska's Energy Desk, Elizabeth Jenkins has the story.
For Eric Nichols, head of Alcan Forest Products, times are hard. In his Ketchikan office, he says calls to fix broken logging equipment start rolling in at the crack of dawn.
Can I take this? Yes, sir.
Nichols oversees logging camps in remote locations, sometimes only accessible by boat or a small plane. Last year, the timber industry in Alaska employed just over 300 people. Nichols supplies paychecks for 50 of them. He says those jobs are important. Still, it's not always easy doing business.
It's a challenge up here, especially a challenge because it's government ownership on almost all the lands and because it's an expensive place to operate.
But that's not Nichols' only headache. He now has to pay a tariff to export logs to his biggest customer, China. Over the summer, President Trump's trade war with the country escalated, and Alcan Forest Products' tariff on spruce doubled.
You know, 20% hit us out of the blue. I'd really expected those guys to resolve their differences and solve this.
At nearly 17 million acres, the Tongass National Forest engulfs most of southeast Alaska. It's part of the largest intact temperate rainforest on Earth. The proposed exemption from the roadless rule means prohibitions on logging could be removed for millions of acres of old-growth trees. Nichols says being able to log more valuable old-growth trees in the Tongass would give him some flexibility to ride out the current global market. But he expects this change to the roadless rule could be litigated for years. And he's not sure if he can wait.
We're in our 60s. Most of the people in this industry is. You've got to decide whether is there next generation coming or not here.
The U.S. Forest Service is holding public meetings across southeast Alaska to discuss the proposed exemption to the roadless rule. A final decision is expected next year. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Jenkins in Ketchikan.
A passenger in a sport utility vehicle died when it flipped and was partially submerged in a ditch in Juneau. Juneau police say a 47-year-old man was trapped in the SUV underwater. He died inside. Names of the passenger and the 30-year-old driver were not immediately released. Police took a call about the crash on Glacier Highway near the airport shortly before 2 a.m. this morning. They found the small SUV on its roof in 3 feet of water. Police say the driver had been in a Knock Bay liquor establishment and had picked up the passenger to give him a ride. Police sampled the driver's blood and said alcohol appears to be a factor in the crash. Ferry Malaspina is being pulled out of service in December, and it's not clear when it will return. The 56-year-old Alaska Marine Highway System vessel will be stored in Ketchikan this January, according to the Department of Transportation. Meadow Bailey, a DOT spokesperson, emailed on Thursday saying that an inspection of the ferry showed it needs about $16 million of repairs. Bailey says there isn't enough money in the ferry system's budget to cover those costs. She says there won't be any impact to the current sailing schedule, and they haven't made any long-term decisions about the future of the vessel. Ketchikan's source of drinking water might have too much bacteria, and that could mean expensive upgrades for the city's water department. Mountain goats and climate change might be to blame. Eric Stone with Alaska's Energy Desk reports.
Ketchikan's drinking water supply isn't filtered. It's simply pumped from reservoirs as so-called raw water, disinfected with chlorine and ultraviolet light, and then sent into the public water system. It's normal to see low levels of bacteria in the untreated raw water, especially fecal coliform, the kind that can make people sick. After all, humans aren't the only ones drinking from Ketchikan's reservoirs.
Bear, deer, geese, say mountain goats, and, being, say, mammals, there's a certain amount of, say, excrement.
That's Ketchikan's water manager, John Kleiniger. Usually it's not a problem, but for Ketchikan to keep its low-cost, low-maintenance approach to drinking water, Ketchikan Public Utilities, or KPU, has to prove that the raw water, that is, before it's disinfected, is relatively clean. State regulators set the limit for that. Right now, Ketchikan looks like it might go over that limit. Recent samples from the city's reservoirs have come back high.
And lastly, I wanted to report to the council that unfortunately we have exceeded yet again our raw water sample that was taken the other week. We just got the results today.
That's Assistant City Manager Lacey Simpson at a recent city council meeting. She told the council that if the next sample is over the limit, the utility could be in violation of state water regulations. This is a new problem for the city, so where's it coming from? Kleiniger points to a couple of possible causes.
One of which, mountain goats have been introduced into the area, and quite frankly, they're thriving.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game first introduced mountain goats to Ketchikan about 35 years ago, and wildlife officials say the population is healthy and growing. They also say the goats like to hang out on steep hillsides, just like some of those above Ketchikan's reservoirs. Kleiniger says that while animals like wolves, bears, and mice have long frequented the city's reservoirs, the booming population of mountain goats could be the culprit. Kleiniger says another possible cause, though, is climate change.
Well, warmer conditions allows the fecal colonies to grow under higher temperatures, which are conducive to growth.
On top of that, Ketchikan's ongoing drought means more sunshine and higher temperatures. Then, when it rains, those bacterial colonies flow down the hill and into Ketchikan's reservoirs. But if KPU keeps seeing high levels of fecal coliform in its raw water supply, it could lose its right to remain unfiltered. It might be forced to build a filtration plant. And that's expensive.
About $70 million, and about another $2 million a year to operate.
Construction costs would triple the current debt of KPU, and operating the plant would cost more than half of its yearly budget. Kleiniger says KPU has a limited number of tools to keep those numbers down. For example, to avoid spikes in bacteria levels after a rainstorm, the utility can switch to a lower bacteria water source. But that's not always possible. KPU's electric division often needs that same water to generate electricity. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Eric Stone in Ketchikan.
And finally, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says the number of nuisance bears killed around Anchorage fell sharply this summer. KTVA reports the department recorded 4 black bears and 2 brown bears killed by the department or by citizens. Biologist Dave Battle says the department in 2017 saw 34 bears killed, including 3 brown bears. Last year, 42 bears were killed, including 14 brown bears. Battle says there are several theories for fewer conflicts. Bears had a lot to eat in forests this year. Also, the number of bears killed the previous 2 years may have removed most of the nuisance bears. Battle said he's encouraged by a new ordinance that fines people who don't handle trash properly. That ordinance took effect in mid-June. And looking at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau and Northern Admiralty Island tonight, widespread rain showers, lows around 40. Friday, numerous rain showers, highs in the mid-40s. That's the KTOO News Update for Thursday, October 24th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.